You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
I once served a congregation that owned and operated its own mountain campground. Now, responsibility for supervising the manager of the campground and for managing the camp committee fell on my desk. And well, that's, I guess, what you do to associate pastors. Things the senior pastor doesn't want to do fall on the desk of the associate pastor. Now, this campground was built in the 1950s in a somewhat remote but very beautiful area in the San Bernardino Mountains. And that means utilities were a challenge. There was electrical service, but nothing else. Large propane tanks supplied the gas needed for cooking and for heating. Septic tanks dealt with all of the sewage, and we had those overflow on occasion, and that was a very wonderful experience, which I'll never forget. For decades, runoff water was collected in a dam that was a healthy distance away from the camp, and that more than supplied the water needs for the campground. Well, about 20 years ago, the Forest Service decided that it was changing policies, and it decided that collecting runoff water could no longer be permitted for potable water, as it's called. So we had a dilemma. Mind you, there had never in the history of the camp been a problem with the water, but so be it. And this required us to drill a well. Now, I don't know, have any of you here ever drilled a well before? It is an intriguing experience, to say the least. The one thing I can tell you for sure is it costs large sums of money. Plus, there's no guarantee that once you drill the well that you'll hit water. And the further down you have to dig, the more expensive it gets. And when you're running a budget on thin margins, that, friends, is not what you want to hear. And with water wells, there's also a sweet spot, because you don't want water that's too close to the surface, let's say under 50 feet, because it's easily contaminated with surface bacteria. Water further down, say at 100 feet, is pristine and drinkable. So we contracted with a company, they came out, they assessed the situation, and they did that geological, hydrological work, and everything commenced. And as you might imagine, it was not simple. The first well was a dud, 200 feet down and no water. Now, as you might imagine, the camp committee was not happy, and there was more than one suggestion at that point that the Forest Service could do certain things to itself which are not repeatable in a church service. But we wanted to play by the rules, so it was decided to try to tap a different spot, because everything in this area screamed that there should be water. It was a meadow. There was a stream running down the middle of the meadow. There had to be water, or so we were told. So the second well was begun. 50 feet, nothing. 100 feet, nothing. 200 feet, sort of muddy stuff, which nobody could drink. Finally, somewhere at about 300 feet below the surface of the ground, they found water. You see, friends, we had to dig deep, literally, to find that which was needed to sustain this campground and keep it open. And I'm here to say that to this day, the well has never run dry, and it's keeping up with the needs of the campground. But we had to dig deep. Now, I like this image of digging deep, because it's a great metaphor for so much of what you and I experience in life. When we dig deep, we might be trying to get to the core, the really important stuff. When we dig deep, we want to get past the surface fluff to find something of substance. When we dig deep, we try to understand the how and the why behind something and how it works, not just flipping on a switch. When we dig deep, we work to understand the foundational concepts, not a rote recitation of facts. We value people of depth, and we lament how sometimes the knowledge base is an inch deep and a mile wide, when what we really need is a knowledge base that's a mile deep and only an inch wide. Sometimes when we dig deep, it is because we as individuals are searching for our core values, our reason for being. And that existential journey has frequently been lived out in faith communities. From our ancient Jewish roots to our modern Christian experience, one of the hallmarks of following Jesus is what can be considered a call for each of us to dig deep. We are called to be people of depth, people of integrity, people of hope, people of compassion, people for whom God is our bedrock, God is our foundation. And following Jesus, as we know, means that we're sometimes going to be at odds with cultural norms, with leadership, sometimes with the activity of government. That's what happens when we dig deep. Following Jesus means we seek and we provide forgiveness, and we cannot be silent or content when we see the abuse of power, the oppression of others, or taking advantage of the helpless. That's what we do when we dig deep. Following Jesus, as we know, friends, is not a proverbial walk in the park. It requires our attention, our passion, our focus. It asks us to dig deep within ourselves to discover that well, which is life-giving water, God's grace, which is constantly at work in our lives. Generation after generation have learned that for all its stumbles and idiosyncrasies, hard-headedness, and sometimes plain old wrong thinking, faith community, our church, is still the best expression. It is still the best place for us to do this deep, deep exploration of the soul. For all of its faults, I really hate to think of what our nation or our world would look like if the church were to no longer exist. Yes, it is representative of the challenges of humanity, but it can also be that place where a spark is lit, where the best of our humanness can be boldly on display. And for that reason alone, I will not give up on the church. I want us to continue to dig deep. Of course, not all churches are created equal. We know that. And as you know, I am very biased towards our Wesleyan Methodist tradition as we are striving to live that out here in Westwood. So for this week and the next, I would ask us to consider who we are, what God calls us to be as a church, and what some of the deep digging activity is that is at our core, that is the very soul of this congregation. And there are four values that I believe are present here, four values that our church leadership continue to embrace and talk about. And for me, those values are absolute indicators of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. What are those values? We yearn to be inclusive. We yearn to be vibrant. We yearn to be engaged, and we yearn to be generous. These aspirations are, I believe, at the heart of following Jesus and are sorely, sorely needed for this time and for this place. So this week, let's consider vibrant and inclusive. Our communities need vibrant churches. A vibrant church is a place where people are passionate. They are passionate about their faith. A passionate faith is one which is foundational to our very being. We make no sense without that foundation. It is our core identity as people of God. A vibrant church is a gathering of persons who see following Jesus as their identity, as opposed to just another characteristic of who they are. It is a way of being that requires us to dig deep. It asks us to prioritize our time with God both individually and corporately. It points us into the direction of cultivating a prayer life. It says it's our task to try to understand the sacred texts and what they mean for the time and place in which we live. And this kind of depth focuses on searching for where God and God's grace is at work in this world. You see, that's what vibrant faith requires. It requires digging into that well. Vibrant faith is a reflective faith. We are never, never at a place where we feel like we've arrived. Rather, we know and we embrace the fact that we are on this journey, an ongoing journey where there is growth and insight around every bend. A vibrant church focuses on activities that helps people to grow deep. And this kind of faith community provides worship and study, which challenges the status quo, which asks each of us to stretch in our thinking and in our practice. A vibrant church is an exciting church, and at times it is a very challenging place to be. It is challenging because the gospel message is challenging. More often, the gospel message is one that does not let us use excuses and instead asks each of us to look in a mirror and be accountable for who we are in community and who we are individually and our actions. And this kind of church only exists when the people who call it home, are passionate about it. So passionate that they are eager to encourage others to be part of that community. That's what a vibrant church is. And I believe that's what we are called to be. Being inclusive is a conversation that is deeply entrenched in the Westwood experience. Over 50 years ago, Bishop Mel Wheatley, when he was the pastor here, was talking about the full inclusion of the LGBTQ community in the life of the church. The fact that the Wheatleys had a gay son and talked about it during that era was a rarity in the church of the 1960s. Our United Methodist Church is still struggling to this day with the full inclusion of all people in the life of the church. This congregation, however, has gone on record saying we do not support the position of the general church, which excludes the LGBT community from full participation. And our annual conference has joined in that understanding as well as our jurisdiction. You see, this congregation has said no more to the harm that continues to be inflicted upon precious children of God. But inclusiveness, friends, is about more than one issue. Inclusiveness is spelled out in the two texts we heard read this morning. Our task is, as the prophet Zechariah stated, to show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the orphan, the alien, or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. The message is so clear. We are to be the place for everyone, the documented, the undocumented, the rich, the poor, the single person with a family, the old, the young, everyone. Not only are we called to be the place for, we are called to be the advocates for those who are the least and the lost, even when that may sometimes fly in the face of the national dialogue on these same issues. To be inclusive, friends, is not an easy task. It is not easy to walk out of step with colleagues, with family members, with neighbors and friends. But that sometimes is what happens when we dig deep, when we choose to be radically inclusive. When we are radically inclusive, it calls us to set aside our self-interest. When we are inclusive, we acknowledge that we are all part of God's great family, that we are all created in God's image, and that all of us were given this implantation of God in us at start. We do, of course, have the decisions we make and others that make that impact our lives, choices and consequences. That's also part of this gift of free will that we have. Being inclusive, though, friends, is living out Jesus' message to love others as self, even with all these contradictions. Yes, this is a most challenging task that Jesus has presented to us. And friends, it's one that requires us to dig deep. Jesus set an example for us. Jesus was wary of government. Jesus was wary of some of the leaders of his time. He had no patience for narcissists. He spoke against the morally bankrupt time and time again. And he nudged his followers to do the right thing. And sometimes, friends, that means as modern followers of Jesus, we are called to be in opposition to those who would seek to set aside people and to oppress parts of our human family. Why? Because, friends, there are too many times in the history of our world when the church remained silent and complacent and allowed atrocities to occur for which the human family still bears scars. But I believe we still need the church, don't you? We need the church more than ever. Now is the time for churches to dig deep. Now is the time, friends, for us to bring out the heavy drilling equipment, to find those wells, no matter how deep they are, of living water, the living water, which is God's grace and God's love for every one of us. And when we tap into that living water, that's when we're vibrant. That's when we understand how to be inclusive. That's when we really become the church. So, friends, where is God asking us to dig as a church? Where do each of us as individuals need to be digging for that well? Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.